The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The title is Shepherd and the Flock of God. And the theme of my sermon is a challenge for church leadership. From a fellow elder, be shepherds of God's flock, how they are to serve and the rewards that come. Listen as I read from 1 Peter chapter 5, the first five verses. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So far, the reading of God's word. Before we open this beautiful portion, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that as we look at this beautiful picture of how Jesus is the chief shepherd and how he calls the church leaders to be under shepherds to care for the flock under his care. Father, may we see this and may we do what he has said. Bless us now this day in Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, the whole picture of shepherd and sheep come right from Jesus' own teaching. The teaching not only of Jesus, but of the Psalms as well. Probably the most well-known of the Psalms is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That whole psalm is a beautiful picture of how God is the good shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. And he guides his sheep. He directs them. He keeps them together. He feeds them. He protects them. He is the good shepherd. And the end of the story, the end of the church story, is found in Hebrews chapter 13, which is that beautiful doxology in which the apostle says this: Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. There you have the end of it, the doxology. Jesus, the great shepherd, gives unto his beloved sheep eternal glory. This is something which we are called to look forward to. We are a congregation. We are called a flock of God, taken from the idea of sheep. Now, sheep are not the most intelligent of animals. They are not, really. Sheep need guidance. Sheep need direction. And so do we. Jesus said, you are my flock. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep. I know my sheep, I call them by name, and I go before them, and I lead them, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. What a beautiful picture that is. Now here's the fifth chapter of Peter, 1 Peter. The previous chapter, Peter is talking about difficult times. We saw that last Sunday, witnessing under stress, and the stress that his people were going through was persecution. It was really intense persecution. It was against the law to be a Christian. And Christians were persecuted. They were burned at the stake. They were crucified. They were thrown before wild animals. I mean, Christians were just treated like scum. And so Peter is now talking to these people who were treated that way. And he is saying to them, now, I exhort you, elders, among you, all the elders among you. And that word elders means, the original word is presbyteri, which involves both elders and ministers, the leadership of the church. So he says to you who are the leaders of the church, I am talking to you as a fellow elder, says Peter, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. He says to the shepherds, to the leaders of the church, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Now it's very important in times of stress and trial that the leadership of the church take leadership. You know, when a ship is in difficulty and when a ship is in danger of sinking, who's the last person to leave that ship? It's the captain. The captain is not the first one who says, I want to save my skin. No. The captain says, I want to make sure that everybody is safe. And so I want everybody to get into a rescue boat, and I'll be the last one to get off the ship. Now that idea is what Peter is saying here too. In the midst of trials, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of all kinds of difficulties, because you know he's writing to people who are refugees, who have been driven from their homes, who are in great danger. They're in danger physically, but also spiritually. They're in danger of the conflicts that they're in. And Peter says to the leadership, now you got to hang in there with them. You hang in there with them. I exhort you as a fellow elder. I'm a fellow elder. I'm one of you, says Peter. And you recall how Peter eventually gave his life. He was crucified, tradition tells us, and he was crucified upside down. He did not want to be crucified the same way that Jesus was. He says, I'm unworthy to be crucified like he was. So I want to be crucified upside down. That was Peter. And Peter, as a fellow elder and one who knew the sufferings of Christ and the glory that was to come, he saw that, you know, on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before him and John and James and Moses and Elijah, representatives of the Old Testament church. Moses and Elijah, and the representatives of the New Testament church, Peter, James, and John. There Jesus in as the in the presence of his, really of the whole church represented by Moses and Elijah of the Old Testament and Peter, James, and John of the New, there's the whole church on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus transfigured before them. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King and Lord of all. So Peter saw his suffering and he saw his glory. And he says, I want you as fellow elders, you're fellow elders with me. I'm no better than you are. I'm calling you to do what I have done, to be a good fellow servant, to be a servant of the Lord. You see, the disciples had to learn that. Like I said to the boys and girls, right before Jesus was betrayed and before his crucifixion, here the disciples were all around him and they were all arguing who was the greatest. I mean, how awful was that? And so Jesus, instead of reprimanding them, instead of saying, you guys are just doing the wrong thing, what's wrong with you? He doesn't say anything. He just gets up and gets a basin and a towel and he begins to wash their feet, which was the job of the slave, of the most humble of all. Here Jesus begins to wash their feet. And he says to them, you call me Savior and Lord, and that's what I am. If I, your Savior and Lord, am washing your feet, you have to serve like I did. You have to serve one another. We have to be like John the Baptist who said, he must increase, I must decrease. And so Peter is talking to the leadership of the church. And he is saying, in the midst of all the trouble that you're in, the conflict, the persecution, all of the tremendous trials that you're in, I want the leadership of the church to be faithful. I want the leadership of the church to show real leadership and love. I want the leadership of the church to be there for them. And so he says, I am a fellow elder, and I want you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, shepherd the flock of God. How is that to be done? Well, how is the shepherd to be how is the shepherd to shepherd his people, the flock? Listen, here it is, the word of God. Peter isn't here anymore. Jesus has ascended. But we have God's word. It's God with us. His word is that which must be proclaimed carefully, faithfully unto the people of God. Feed the flock. Feed them. What a sad story it is if a congregation doesn't have a minister who feeds the flock the word of God. If they come to church and they leave empty. If they get stones for bread. If they are not fed by the word of God. That is a terrible thing. And so the Apostle Paul, he says much of the same as Peter does here. The Apostle Paul is on his way toward Jerusalem, and he stops off at Ephesus. And the elders of Ephesus come to see him at the beach. It's like a beach consistory meeting. It's very interesting. Paul is talking to the elders of the church, and he says, I have been among you for 3 years, and I taught, and I explained, and my message was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now feed the flock of God that the Holy Spirit has put among you. Feed them. Feed them. What do we feed them with? We feed them with the word of the living God. As Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, do the work of an evangelist, but preach the word. That's the whole thing. The minister has nothing else to give but the word of God. The word of God must be given to the children in catechism, in Sunday school. The word of God must be given to the congregation in the worship service. The congregation must hear the word of God so that when they leave the church, they can say, this is what the Lord has said. That the minister is to be like John the Baptist. As you recall, Isaiah saying this in Isaiah 40, a voice was heard. The voice cried out, and the minister is the voice. He does not create the word. The word is already created. As Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Here we have it. All scripture, every part of it. The Old Testament and the New Testament. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is useful and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. This word of God will equip us. And the minister has to proclaim that word in a way which is understandable, in a way that is compelling, in a word that is clear, so that everyone can understand. We have to be like Jesus was in his teaching. He gave his message in parables so that everyone might understand. He brought it so clear to them so that the children could understand. So the preaching of the word must be with passion. It must be with authority. It must be with clarity. It must be to build up the congregation. And it is to bring sinners unconverted to Christ. It's to bring them with the gospel to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The word of God is profitable for teaching, reproof, all those things. And so the minister is equipped with the word of God. And so he's got to feed the flock, shepherd the flock. And now he's got to have the right motivation. The right motivation, exercising oversight. Oversight means that it's another word for being a guardian, keeping them from temptation, keeping them from error. The Apostle Paul lays that out so clearly in Acts 20, verse 28. He says, because from among you there's also going to arise those who will try and lead you away from the truth. That is one of the problems that we have to face, that Paul faced, that Peter faced, and the Apostle Paul says in Acts 20, he says, and now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem constrained by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has given you, made you overseers. That's the same idea that Peter uses to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, Jesus talks about that too. He says, I am the good shepherd. All that came before me were thieves and robbers. And when the wolf came, the shepherds left. They fled. Now the Apostle Paul says, now listen. After my departure, grievous wolves will come in, and not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, admonishing everyone with tears. And so Peter is saying the same thing, exercising oversight. And the motivation, says Peter, is not money. Don't do it for money. And don't do it because you got to. Being a preacher and being a pastor and being a leader of the church is not a profession. It's a passion. It's not a profession that a person does just to get a good name. No, no, no. We're here not for our sakes. We're here for God's sake, for Christ's sake. And so Peter says, don't do it out of compulsion. Don't do it because you got to. Do it because you want to. That the love of Christ, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he says, the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ compels me. I can do no other than bring the word of God. There is a love and a passion in the heart of the apostles and in the heart of Christ. And that's got to be in the heart of the preacher too, a compassion. He doesn't do it because he has to. And the Apostle Peter says, don't do it for shameful gain. For shame if a man does it for shameful gain. He does it out of a passion in his heart. Yes, the congregation has to give proper remuneration to the minister, as it says in the Bible, a workman is worthy of his hire. And the Apostle Paul says you don't muzzle an ox when he's grinding the grain. In other words, the minister has to be cared for. Minister has to be compensated, but you don't do it for that. You don't do it for that. You do it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the sake of your people, and that there's a passion. I love to do it. The Apostle Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. There's a passion in his heart, and that passion has to be there. There was a preacher in London who preached probably very faithfully, but he had very few people who had came to church. And there was an actor in London as well. And the actor acted and played out his play, and the place was jammed. And the minister said to him, how is it that you're an actor, you're telling stories, you're dealing with fiction, and you're getting a whole crowd, and here I'm bringing the truth,
And then I don't have hardly anybody to listen. And the actor said, I am bringing fiction as if it were truth. And you are bringing the truth as if it's fiction. There's got to be a clear passion to bring the Word of God, the whole Word, 16 ounces to the pound, the whole thing, faithful to Scripture. Like the Apostle Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the Word. And so the preaching of the gospel is to be done out of passion, conviction, that the word of the Lord may be clearly brought.
And so the Apostle Peter says, you don't do it out for money. Don't domineer over the flock. But there's a great reward. Says Peter, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Peter knew that too. He saw the glory when Jesus was transfigured before him. Peter denied Jesus three times. And when Jesus was risen from the dead, he came to Peter. Peter, he said, do you love me? Three times. You know, Jesus said, after each time Peter answered, he said, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, and feed my lambs. In other words, Jesus said, if you don't love me, I don't want you touching my sheep. If you don't love me, I don't want you among my sheep at all. So I want to make sure that you who denied me three times, that you really love me. And you remember how Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. That is the primary qualification of the preacher, that he love the Lord and love his people. That's it. And everyone said, Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. We thank you, O Lord Jesus, Messiah, the King of kings and Lord of all. O Lord, help us as we are looking for another pastor, the senior pastor, that we may find one who fulfills what the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul are saying. Lord, that each one of us, elders, deacons, pastors, that we all may look at ourselves in the light of this passage and may say, Lord, help us, forgive our sins. Help us to be faithful. Help us to love you and love your people. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.